Traditions and rituals. If asked to describe the Episcopal Church with any two words, these would be the two that many would first think of. We, as an Episcopal Christian community, love our traditions and we love our rituals. It is not a coincidence that the Episcopal Church grounds its theology in scripture, community, and tradition. Look at how we hold our services this Sunday. Using the historic traditions of the church found in our Book of Common Prayer, we bring to life practices that have been embodied in the church for centuries. Holy Communion, baptisms, creeds, hymns, liturgical processions and practices, historic language. All of these aspects of our worship are directly connected to the traditions that have existed for a millennia. For our denomination, these traditions are part of what defines us as Christians. There is logic and beauty in continuing these traditions of ours and of our ancestors. Look at the reading from Exodus. There we find the beginnings of the Jewish festival of Passover, a tradition that has been kept for thousands of years by the adherents of the Jewish faith. The potency of that one tradition, that just that one, is so strong that it has affected the world far beyond the Jewish worship and Jewish religion itself, even to the extent that we can find aspects of it in our own tradition of Holy Communion. Traditions such as Passover and the traditions we use in our worship service offer us a way to connect with the past, to tap into the spiritual wisdom our ancestors had. Through remembering, reciting, and reenacting our traditions, we become one with a larger community, one that spans beyond our own time and includes all who believed before us and all who will believe after us. It is an awe-inspiring experience, isn't it? If we approach tradition with the right heart and mindset, it is the most humbling of experiences that we can have. Yet, as wonderful as our traditions are in incorporating us with the larger community of God, they can also be a hindrance to our own spiritual, personal, and community growth. I've got a question for y'all. How many of us can recite our church service by heart? Now, how many of us have dozed off at one point or another in a sermon? And how many of us have, at one point or another, felt a lack of enthusiasm in our worship? While the historic traditions and rituals and festivals of our church can offer us immense spiritual growth and wisdom, they can also tie us down, drive us into a state of boredom with our faith communities, and forget the true reason why we practice and believe what we practice and believe. When this happens, individuals like ourselves can lose that connection they have with God and their communities, and slowly but surely, both begin to suffer. Not only can this repetitious cycle dull our hearts and minds in our worship of God, it can also become exclusive in nature. Have any of us ever been a newcomer in a church? We all have. We have all experienced that feeling of being the new person in the group, the one who does not understand what is going on, who feels out of the loop, who feels that our ideas, opinions, and point of view aren't appreciated or, worse, accepted. It's not a very loving feeling to have, is it? Yet, loving others is exactly what we are called to do if we look at our reading from Romans. In this letter, Paul emphasizes the commandment given to us by God and then re-emphasized by Jesus in the Gospels. Love your neighbor as yourself. Now, imagine back to a time where you were the new person on the block, the new person in a church. What would have made you feel loved and accepted? What ideas did you have about that particular community that you wish they would have heard? What changes would you have made to make others in your position feel more accepted, a part of the community, and loved as a member, not seen as an outsider? Change can be a beautiful thing. Through change, a faith community can learn more about itself than if things were to remain the same. Communities can become more aware of their strengths and where there is still work to be done. If approached with an open heart and an open mind, change can foster growth wherever it goes. Change can turn a failing community into one that thrives, a stagnant state of being into a vibrant reality. Yet, just like holding on to traditions can be detrimental, so can change. If all a community desires is to be changing constantly, they are in store for as much trouble as those who hold on fervently to their traditions. These communities and individuals that hold on to change can risk losing sight of their point of origin, turning into something that they did not set out to be. They can also become exclusive, preventing new ideas and new people from forming roots in the community, roots that are needed for the group to grow. In short, driving our communities to either extreme leads to the same ending, a failing and struggling community. Where then are we to go? From our scriptures, we understand that tradition is important to the health of a community. But we are also taught by those same scriptures that accepting and initiating change is just as important. That leaves us with one path to take if we wish to grow and flourish, what I'd like to call the middle way. It's very Buddhist, isn't it? The middle way. To live a healthy, balanced life, to build a vibrant, spiritually mature community, we must possess equal amounts of tradition and change. Our traditions keep us grounded, connected with the spiritual communities and wisdom of the past, while change keeps us on our toes, excited to be, and open to hearing and seeing God, witnessing God even, in new and in exciting ways. Who knows? Maybe that new change we initiate today will become a tradition of the community in the future. Now, some of you may be asking yourselves, how does all of this connect with our readings today? I've hinted at it a little, but let me parse it out a little bit more. In each of our readings, we can see both aspects of tradition and change. We become witnesses to the power that both paths have. In the Exodus reading, we see what we define today as an ancient tradition. But in that time period, that was a huge change, departing from anything that particular faith tradition had ever seen or practiced. In our reading from Romans, I emphasize the section that compels us to love others as ourselves, because in that of itself is a tradition and a change. We have all heard that saying. It is a part of our tradition, part of who we are as Christians. But every single moment we practice it requires us that we engulf ourselves into a new reality, to change our approaches and ways of thinking in order to follow that particular command in its fullest. Then we have the gospel reading from today, which I have not yet touched on. I don't plan on spending much time on it today, not because tradition and change do not exist in it. They both most certainly do. I personally just can't stomach the thought of writing a sermon yet on a passage that so clearly was not what Jesus said, taught on, or was about. But I digress. That's a sermon for another day that maybe Hillary can pick up. What I would like to point out in our gospel reading is the overwhelming amount of change that occurs in it, that has become a part of our tradition. When this passage was written down, the early church community was coming to terms with the fact that the physical second coming of Jesus would not be in their lifetime as they had at first believed. Thus, we see their leadership using the figure of Jesus itself to lay out how the church should continue until the day arrived. How do we know this? Well, for one, there was no church as we recognize it in the time of Jesus. That development came after his death. So if it came after his death, how then could Jesus speak of a church if it wasn't yet established? I find it funny. What we see here is the change that was occurring in the early faith community, change that would ultimately become tradition for all Christian communities in the world. Their ability to change their ways of thinking and of governance gave a new life to the newly formed church, giving itself the tools to grow, be prosperous, and reach out to new communities. That change has become our tradition. The ways in which we govern our communities, develop our theology, and live out the gospel stem from this moment of change. Change in tradition, the dance of balance that we all must take part in. Even here at Holy Comforter, we are not immune to that. We must take part in this dance if we are to learn, grow, and love more fervently as a community. We can look back on the history of our group, our congregation, and see this intricate dance take place. There are traditions that have kept us grounded in our spiritual past. There are changes we have made that have moved us forward in loving manners towards everyone. And, unfortunately, there are times where the balance was lost, and we suffered because of it. In this past year, this community has seen a revival of itself and its ministries, all stemming from a balance that is being made between tradition and change. It is in this moment of our history together that we strike out from what we were and become the Holy Comforter of the future. In the spirit of this moment, I would like to invite all of us to share in that balance together. As you entered the church today, the ushers handed you a sheet of paper with your bulletin. Did y'all all get one? Yeah, y'all should have. It's nice and yellow. I want all of us to take a moment and reflect on our communal life here. Just close your eyes and listen to the questions I ask you. What things do we do well? What traditions do we benefit from? What things could we change? Where can we grow? Reflect on those questions for a moment. After you're done, I would like you all to write down one thing. I'm sure there's some pens and pencils floating around in the purses and the pockets out there. I want you to write down one tradition that Holy Comforter keeps that makes this community special to you. Then, I would like you to write down one thing that you would like to see changed. One change that Holy Comforter could make that would make us a more loving and accepting community. When the offering plates come by you today, take that sheet of paper with your thoughts and your reflections and place it in there. These reflections are a part of the offerings you give to this community, a part of the gifts and ideas that you bring to share with us, a part of what makes this congregation grow and become centered in the ministry we are called to do by God. Change in tradition, the dance of balance that we all must take part in. Let us come together, bound by our faith in God, and join in that intricate and holy dance. In the name of the most holy Lord of all, who is present in our utmost holy dance. Amen.